Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Joe Burrow named a top five QB. Lamar Jackson isn't. Do the Browns even have a QB? John Boyz to Men Sheeran lays down the law. Dr. Hoji the Electric Smoji is out chasing that great white whale that ate his organic seaweed garden. And Daddy-O Mustache MacDuke celebrates the Euro hitting $1 for the first time in 20 years. Wondering where you are? So are we. Sit back, relax, and grab a can of expired kettle corn because you're watching the number one Bengals podcast.
Yeah! Thank you, HR. Wow. Welcome to the show, number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy-O MacDuke, as always. I'm joined by John, Boyz II Men Sheeran, and HR. Of course, I have her name right here, and it is Bridgadget Jancarts. Yeah.
That was close.
Jancarts, yeah. That's yes. The closest he's gotten.
Thank you.
Progress.
And we have our good friend, Mr. Luke Knoll.
Guys, I'm loving the intro. Really stepped it up. I still am lobbying for you guys to return to just being hand-drawn things on notebook paper, but I feel like that's going on deaf ears. So,
yeah, we don't have the budget for that. We have the animation deal. I can't say what country. There's an embargo now, but it was a great deal. And it doesn't really, with inflation, yeah, and the euro, of course, it doesn't really work anymore. But look, we got a lot to talk about today. We have a very special guest lined up. Not sure he's going to be able to make it. That's how important he is. This man, obviously, yeah, a lot of connections to the White House. I'm talking about Mr. Garrett Bush. And this man is...
I think that's the wrong White House. That was maybe a couple White Houses ago.
Oh, is he a brother?
You are assuming things, HR. But here's the thing about Garrett, okay? From the very beginning, he was not a fan of how the media was covering the Deshaun Watson thing. And he said, look, have you noticed the suspension hasn't come out yet? It is because of this, it's because of that. It's a lot of hypocrisy. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But first, hopefully Garrett will be here for that. But first, we got to talk about Brinks.TV because I see Courtney is staring at me, intimidating me, giving me the stink eye, if you will. And Brinks.TV, folks, is obviously you can watch us there right now, live, we're on Brinks.TV, and there's a lot more features and much higher quality, and you can participate in games, make a lot of money. And but you can also get the app, and there's a lot of shows. And my favorite show, obviously, on Brinks.TV is Conspiracy Now. And the most recent conspiracy they have is about the Disney Corporation. So you see, as you all know, Walt Disney never died. He was just frozen. I'm sure you've all heard. And Disney family didn't like this getting out there. And that is, according to this conspiracy, why they made the movie Frozen. So when you Google Disney Frozen, you no longer are hearing about Walt Disney. It's a fascinating conspiracy, explains so much. Obviously, Frozen, very popular movie, sequels, music, and that is all a way to cover up the real existence of Mr. Walt Frozen Disney.
So the hidden meaning behind Let It Go.
Right. Is let this whole ordeal about Walt Disney go and just move on and stop talking about it. Because everybody's going to want it now. I think Courtney wanted to say something. No. Okay. Let us get to the news. And I think Garrett is still not here. So let's get to the Deshaun Watson suspension. And again, Garrett gets right to it. And he says, look, just read from here. So he says, Robert Kraft, okay, he was charged with first degree or accused of, I don't know, misdemeanor charges for soliciting procreation at the Jupiter Day Spa. And then the judge dismissed all the videos, and I believe it was because they say they had video of Robert Kraft just in the towel, and it's very difficult to clean vomit in a courtroom. And so they decided not to show the videos in court. And you have Jerry Jones was accused of assault. He was accused of assault, sexual assault, obviously. And you have Daniel Snyder with 40 people on his private plane, and he was obviously intimidating them, bullying them, and harassing them as well. And what happens to these people? Nothing. Nothing happens to them at all. And he's saying the NFL knows that. And he pointed, Mr. Garrett, to how even when Rich Eisen was discussing Robert Kraft, he had a comedian on there. No offense, Luke, sorry. I know you guys are a family.
There can only be one.
Well, yes. But so this comedian, I forgot his name, but he was basically laughing about the Kraft thing and making jokes when it's a very serious offense, very gross offense. And then they showed Rich Eisen was laughing with him. And then Garrett showed how serious Rich Eisen was when it comes to Watson. And he's suggesting not only is it because he's a player, but he's not, let's say, from the same demographic as the owners. And so that is kind of the gist of Garrett's problem with how the media is covering it. I want to throw it back to you guys since he's not here.
This is ridiculous. This is just whataboutisms. I don't know why the transgressions of three owners have anything to do with the things that Deshaun Watson did. But if we do want a serious answer here, it's not only just because the owners are white. The owners run the NFL. It's not Roger Goodell, the boss of everything. Roger Goodell's bosses are the 32 owners in the NFL. They can have diplomatic immunity. There's a reason why Daniel Snyder is out on a yacht in Europe when he's being called to testify in a subpoena for the horrible things that he's doing with the team that he owns in Washington. It's not the same standards, obviously, but it doesn't mean that Deshaun Watson shouldn't get a righteous punishment for the things that he clearly did. And if we want to talk about precedent, Calvin Ridley got a year for betting like $100 on a couple of games in November. He got a year. Deshaun Watson assaulted over 5 dozen women. Like, how, if we want to talk about precedent, where the hell is that?
John, I think, well, I mean, I don't want to get too into it, but
allegedly.
Well, there's also I mean, the NFL, I think, is only what? Using 4 cases now, right? Is that correct?
Well, the other ones have been settled.
Yeah.
Right.
The other ones settled. And the ones that the 4 remaining, I think the lawyers said they were not cases of aggression, of forced. Is that correct? I mean, so in terms of the suspension, I think it's getting very complicated, is what I'm trying to say, in terms of suspension. And I think that's why we're seeing, you know, the things that are going on right now. It's talking, they were going indefinite, and now it's what, 4 to 6 games? It seems to be a lot more going on, and that's kind of what Garrett is getting at. He's not just saying that, hey, these owners are bad too. He's trying to say there's a lot more to it than we think. And the owners know that they have to worry about their own image too in all of this. I think that's what he's saying.
And I hope they do, right? I mean, we
Thank
need
you.
To
yeah.
hold rich white men to the same standard that we hold everybody else to. And we all know, I mean, that's why the Me Too movement was started. We don't do that. At the same time, I mean, we can't... If Deshaun Watson did what he did, not punishing him and holding him accountable because we haven't held other people accountable, I don't think is the right answer. But I mean, I think what Garrett is bringing up about narrative and the way we talk about, so the clips you were referring to, Daddy-O, there's one like joking about what Robert Kraft did, and then really, I mean, talking very seriously about what Deshaun Watson did, which is right, because it's a very serious topic. And I think we have to figure out, how do we seriously talk about assault against women, regardless of who the perpetrator is? And I think that's the narrative change that we've got to work towards. And I think the NFL is primed to start using its platform towards that, especially as they want to bring more women into the front offices of teams. You know, we just saw a black female president named to the Raiders, I think. They want to bring more female leaders into executive roles in the league. They want to bring more women on the sideline and on the field. I mean, they're going to really have to reconcile what it means to talk about sexual and physical abuse against women, regardless of who the perpetrator is.
That was very well spoken. Thank you, HR. And I agree. I think let's just say at least one of Garrett's points that I agree with is that this has to be taken seriously at all levels. And we can't, just because the owners, we know they're going to get away with it, the media can't play along. The media's job, especially someone like Rich Eisen, he's been in the industry like 40 years. He can't just sit there and laugh because it's easy, and because he knows that that's kind of the narrative that everybody's rolling with. You know, and Garrett calls out Mike Florio, our good friend Mike Florio. He calls him out a lot as well, and says how he just kind of tries to dictate the narrative as well. There's a lot to discuss there. I really don't. It's not so much about what Watson did. It's more about really, again, what's going on behind the scenes. And Josina Anderson obviously,
it is both,
talked a little bit about that.
It is
that.
Both.
Complicated the matter. Yeah.
It is both.
Yeah. So let us move on. It's a very dark subject. And I want to talk more Browns, because they traded Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers. And they traded him for a conditional fifth-round pick, right, John? And I think what I understand is the condition is that he doesn't play more than 8 hours of video games a day, so long as he's under contract. And then they
specifically
get the
Halo, I think is what it was. Yeah.
So, John,
I can't really blame him, though.
Yeah, 8 hours is enough. I feel like that's enough, yeah. But, John, I mean, okay, obviously the Browns just wanted to get, you know, I don't want to call him a cancer, but it was a cancerous situation having him in the locker room. I mean, you think he's obviously talent-wise, he's better than what they have, and Deshaun Watson is still not clear. But that's how bad the chemistry on the team was overall. So what does that say about the team's prospects next year?
Man, it's just more of the Browns stuff. They can't avoid it at this point. Like, Baker was so much better than what they had before. Like, he was their best quarterback since, what, Bernie Kosar, who was playing before I was even alive. He got them their first playoff win, and they still ran into this bullcrap. Like, I don't know Baker Mayfield personally. None of us do. We only hear what has been reported. And I think you can kind of tell that he maybe wasn't the most serious guy. There were some things that he did kind of in the offseason, and the lack of consistency in his game kind of pointed towards maybe a lack of commitment to really getting better, as the team around him definitely got better and they built an incredible team to support him, and he still couldn't fully put it together. And there are some people that are saying that even if Baker Mayfield like didn't get injured and he had like a decent year, they would have still been aggressive in trying to replace him, maybe because it was more than just the on-field stuff, maybe because there was just a lot of lack of trust and, like you said, just issues maybe with him in the locker room and just gelling with teammates or whatever the case may be. So it really does suck for the Browns that this quarterback that this time last year was viewed as like a top half of the league guy coming off of a good season in 2020 is getting traded for what equates to pennies on the quarterback market.
Yeah, conditional pennies. So Luke, as someone in Hollywood, in the big time
Hollywood,
the industry man, industry insider, you look at Baker, you look at his commercials, and he supposedly has some comedic chops. you know, how do you evaluate him personality-wise? How talented is he in that regard? Does he have a future there if it doesn't work out as
quickly? I mean, I think it stinks because, you know, I'm going to take a pot shot at the Browns any chance I get, any chance I can,
what I was hoping for, yeah.
I'm going to do that, but you got to give credit. Baker is good in those commercials. I'm like, Baker is better in the commercials than he is probably a lot of the times, certainly on primetime. But, I mean, he's always an all-star against the Bengals, which is cool. Every time he plays the Bengals, it's like, great. Love that he's absolutely destroys us every time, which is neat. But I tell you what, old Bakey, it did kind of bum me out a little bit. I remember that playoff game where they beat the Steelers and it was like 28-0 in the first quarter. There was a moment as a Bengal fan watching the Browns get to be happy before us that I was like just so bummed. I was like, golly, our playoff drought is still active and the Browns get to be happy. So it is nice to see that the Browns are going to brown and everything is on fire and it's the worst ever. And they went from the Luigi playing little brother in the league that everyone kind of passively rooted for to now being the ultimate villains, which is cool. And I'm all about that. Looking forward to that week one matchup. You know, Baker's going to throw for 100 touchdowns. He's going to be so fired up. It's going to be awesome. It does stink, though, because he's also going to beat the Bengals. He always does. It's going to stink.
Yeah,
Do we think Baker's going to play, though? Do we think he's going to be playing week one?
Week one, you have to. It's just he's pure like
just
vitriol.
For ratings. Yeah, that's true.
Well, talk about how
Daddy-O didn't pay his Brown internet bill again.
Maybe you just said the word Browns really long and really slow.
Their playoff win before us. And then
who's playing? Right,
can you hear me now?
Okay, there we go.
So, Luke mentioned how the Browns got their first playoff win before we did. But then they browned their pants, I think you said. And that's kind of what they do. But we have the
But do you guys worry, though? Do you worry that the Bengals are capable of doing the same thing?
Of browning our pants?
Well, we have a history of making terrible decisions all the time, nonstop, for decades and decades. And so after one great year, I'm still hesitant from all of the abuse I've sustained that we are still capable of doing what the Browns are doing, which is like somehow, even though it seems like the arrows are all pointing up and that we're trending in the right direction, I'm just too damaged to fully believe that I've just been hurt too much before. I'm just waiting for, I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong.
Burrow. I love him.
Yeah. Burrow. So, John, let's talk about this, John. The Bengals' overall value for their players, they went from what last year to number 5 now?
They went from the 23rd. So, Mike Clay, who does ESPN fantasy projections and also just ranks basically every position group on all 32 teams. He ranked the Bengals as the 23rd overall team this time last year, including like the third worst offensive line. You had really bottom at linebacker. You had middling rankings at both running back and cornerback. And just in one year. Now, the team hasn't changed that much. You have an overhauled offensive line. You have a couple of new pieces. Hayden Hurst switching out from CJ Uzama. You have an absence of Larry Ogunjobi. But again, the team is basically the same, but you had so much development for those players that were on the team last year to this year that the Bengals are now a top 5, I think, 4th-ranked team in Clay's system when you add up all of the rankings of each individual position group. And of course, they're weighted. Like quarterback makes up like a 1/4 of the total grade. Offensive line is about 12%. Cornerback is 11%. So obviously the more important positions matter in the overall grade, but just the jumps in the individual position groups. You had Joe Burrow in the quarterback room was ranked 18th last year. This year they're 6th. You have receivers going from 3rd to the best, to the first ranked. You have offensive line making a huge jump from 29th to 13th in every position group on defense, and the entire team, I should say, has improved over last year. But again, there's not like any new players necessarily. The defense is largely the same. The offensive line has changed, but the offense in terms of skill players, that's largely the same. So it really is a testament to how much these players have developed and just how I think how much team success impacts the perception of some of these players. Because DJ Reader, Von Bell, guys like that, they were good before this year. They were good last year when they played for the Bengals for the first time. But now I think they're viewed in a higher light just because the Bengals are good.
Yeah, I do agree that Joe Burrow developed those players.
Joe Burrow personally responsible for the development of our defense last year.
Why did you pause right before you misquoted me or just paraphrased me?
Because he's frozen.
Oh, okay.
He's having a Walt Disney
You
moment.
Have... Oh? No. No. Get me now.
I guess not. We can? Kind of.
Yeah. So...
Kind of. No, I'm with you. I'm going to take up his joke. I also claim that Joe Burrow is personally responsible for the development of our entire defense just because when he's on the sideline and he's pointing at him being like, you guys are doing it all right. But it helped. Yeah. Catapult our playoff run.
John, isn't it 28% of the team's overall value is quarterback?
28, yeah.
Okay.
26.
Yeah, please look at this. That's John. Please look closely. But John, but basically what I'm saying is when Joe Burrow takes a huge leap, that is, you know.
I'm starting to think it was 26%. I'm starting not to believe anything that you're saying.
That raises the value of the whole team in front of me.
Hey.
Anyways.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
We're doing our best.
But actually... Yeah. Please carry on. But look, I just wanted to say this, John. I feel like our linebackers are underrated this time. They were like 1 point something.
Maybe.
I like that.
Yeah. Hey, this year will be a big, you know, decider of whether or not they're underrated or not. We'll see. Be healthy again. See Akeem Davis Gaither. He's back in the mix, but. You never know. If you pluck our linebacking core to another team, are you scared of any of those guys?
No, like to the opposite of Daddy's point, if quarterbacks are weighted so much, like linebackers are weighted like 6%. So even if the linebackers are, 20th in the league or whatever, it doesn't really change much of the defense. It doesn't really change much of the outlook of the overall team. I think the important thing here is that where the team matters the most, talking about quarterbacks, receivers, offensive linemen, pass rushers, the Bengals are all above average. Or even elite in some of those areas. I think they have like the second ranked safeties room according to Mike Clay. So where it matters, they're definitely amongst the best, and that's why they're in the top five in terms of overall grade.
Yeah. Thank you, John. I mean, I didn't need the confirmation, but thank you for wrapping that up nice and tidy. And let us move on, John, because we know that Joe Burrow was ranked as the fifth best quarterback by coaches, executives, scouts, and players in the NFL. And obviously that's ridiculous. Top five, come on. He's easily top two. Easily. But anyways, a lot of these guys don't know football. But they do know football when it comes to Lamar Jackson, because they have him not even in the top 10. And the question is this: is this a conspiracy by the league to drive down his asking price for his new contract? Is it that, you know, they forgot about his MVP year and are just looking to last year when the team struggled with injuries? John, Lamar Jackson, okay, just a couple of years ago, 1 year ago, was considered easily top five, and now he's not even top 10, and he doesn't have any major health issues. What's going on?
There's no conspiracy about racism. They still look at Lamar Jackson as less of a quarterback because of what he does or what he doesn't do. Now, granted, he didn't have the best year last year. The Ravens were just decimated by injuries. He was dealing with like his third and fourth string running back. Their receivers were not very impressive. Mark Andrews is great, but the offensive line was battered up. Lamar Jackson still almost took him to the playoffs before he unfortunately got hurt or dealt with some other issues. He's still a really good quarterback. And the uniqueness of his game, I think, evaluators or executives, who are all anonymous, by the way, like they still don't look at it with the value of what he gives them and how that offense is structured and tailored in a way where it's not like any other offense and they're able to do other things. Now, it hasn't translated very much when it mattered towards the later parts of the season. but it still feels like we're looking at Lamar Jackson in a very archaic way. Like, I don't feel like we've advanced enough in terms of like football media to really appreciate the value that he gives to that offense. Now everything is tailored from what he does, and the extra dimension that he adds just with his legs. Is it sustainable? I don't know. He's only like 5 years into the league, but I do know that there's not 10 quarterbacks that would take over him just because of what he adds to an offense.
John, I mean, look at the other side of the spectrum, and Josh Allen made a very big jump to being considered the top quarterback by a lot of people, and he hasn't done it. I'll give him that. But in terms of accuracy, in terms of consistency, you know, average yards per attempt, you know, in terms of even the playing style to some degree, it's kind of a little bit of a, say, winning, won so many games for, you know, his entire career at a very young age, came into the league very young. You have him dropping because of his perceived style, and Josh Allen, who, I mean, I don't see how you can have him as the top quarterback of the league. I want to know actually what Luke thinks about Josh Allen's rise in QB.
I mean, they made the investment. One of my best buddies, a big Bills fan, and I was definitely taking shots at him and did not think he was going to end up being as good as he is. But yeah, he can throw it 90 yards on his knees. He's insane. And he's super mobile and is essentially has a lot of the, you know, the running ability that not quite as shifty as Lamar Jackson, but more importantly, anytime during the offseason that they come out with top 10 lists, it's to spur exactly what we're doing right now, which is arbitrary arguing over stuff that does not matter at all.
Well, and I agree.
But yeah. Lamar is also on the same thing. Is he getting hated on? In just doing a top 10 list, probably he's probably getting hated on. At the same time, you know, people are going to use his MVP for the rest of his career as like a benchmark for what he should be. But it seemed like there were games last year where, you know, part of it is just the Ravens kind of zigging when everyone else sags and not investing at all in wide receivers and, you know, running an offense that's tailored to Lamar Jackson. And if people hate on that, go ahead. They win a lot of games. Yeah, there's no other team that's quite like them.
Well, I agree that the off-season chatter is not very valuable. But actually, John wanted to talk about this topic. But I would say this. It's not just one or two lists. That's what I'm saying. The perception is Josh Allen is already maybe the best player in the league. And it just seems to happen so fast.
No, Daddy, look at Josh Allen. Like, look at him, like, physically, like, just look at him. He's 6'5", 240. Yes. He's got the pigment of you in that bright light. It's way too close to your face, by the way. You look like you were born here in America. Josh Allen, like, looks like what those people who vote, like, they think of, like, the traditional great quarterback. And he developed exactly the way that the Bills want him to. And that's why you got his ascension into number one. And also, he's really freaking good. He probably should have beat Mahomes in that playoff game. Like, he has developed exactly the way that he was supposed to.
And Josh Allen is good. Like, there's no doubt about it. I on all of, like, the morning football shows, I feel like Josh Allen has risen, like, or has ascended into this, like, oh, Josh. I mean, he's good. Is he, like, amazing? I don't know. Like, he's good, but give him, like, I don't know. I think he's really good. I think the media gives him, like, John, I think you're spot on. I think the media gives him a lot of attention because he is what you would create in the lab for a stereotypical quarterback in a league that in the kind of
this is what the discussion we had with Coach Jason Brown, and I was bringing this up, is that I think the aesthetics are what make people value, like, why do people want to take all these shots at Joe Burrow, you know, because it doesn't look like he's the next superstar quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball the fastest, he doesn't run the hardest, he's not the biggest, all that, you know, and he had a gimpy knee for like half the season last year, so it doesn't look beautiful. the way it does with Josh Allen now, and even Lamar Jackson's MVP year. All of a sudden, people were saying he's the best quarterback in the league, and I was like, hold on, I don't know. I still think Mahomes is better. You know, I still think, but I think that that kind of the Madden football game, and of course, going back to Baker Mayfield, I think the video game culture has made people focus more on the tangibles than the intangibles. And I think Joe Burrow, faced with these tests, getting sacked 9 times against the Tennessee Titans, going, you know, all these different stuff that actually win you games when you need them, that's Joe Burrow. All right. Yeah, Luke, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Lamar and Josh, how many playoff wins do they have among them?
I think two, combined two.
Yeah?
Yeah, Joe Burrow does that in a month. I mean, easily, a couple of weeks. All right, well, look, enough about the AFC North quarterbacks and the battles and that. Let's talk about love. What do you think? Love sells.
Aww, we love love.
Love wins.
Love wins. So we are celebrating this week not one, but two Bengals weddings. So the first one, and I stole photos from the internet. So, Courtney, if you wouldn't mind putting up Logan Wilson. So, Logan Wilson got married this weekend to Morgan Mead at the TPC Country Club in a city I wasn't sure quite how to pronounce in Colorado. And I believe Joe Burrow was at this wedding based on my Instagram stalking. So, congratulations to Logan and Morgan. And then the second wedding, our fearless little kicker, shooter, McPherson, Evan McPherson, married his, like, I don't know if this is his, like, high school sweetheart. Evan McPherson's, like, 22 years old, and I think he's been with his fiance, now wife, for 4 years. So they are, it's an adorable little love story. So Evan McPherson married Gracie Groh in their hometown of Fort Payne, Alabama. So we are celebrating the love that is our Bengals weddings that none of us were invited to. So
no, but you gotta didn't they do it on the same day too? Yeah, so you know that the lines were drawn.
Who scheduled it first, or who scheduled it last? I want to say, because is the real, it's the adversary here. I would say. There's
so
no reason for that.
As the, like, I don't want to play into gender stereotypes, but sometimes males don't get a say in the date. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't.
As someone who was recently married, I got a give a thumbs up, but I will say, yeah, I
didn't get it. I was hoping you were going to say, like, got to save the date. And that's when I knew when it was.
Yeah, I just received an email and I hit maybe on it. I honestly wasn't even sure I would attend my
own. This is such an easy conversation to have, though. Like, babe, come on, man. Like, my teammate's getting married 3 days before me. I want to have the entire team there. Like, let's push it back.
John.
It's complicated, John. Venue, availability. It's a complicated business, these weddings.
Yeah, but I'm just picturing Money Mag. No one going to his. None of the guys are at his wedding. Everyone, like Joe Burrow and everyone, is at Logan Wilson's wedding instead.
Oh, I would go to Evan's wedding. Just a little. So cute. They're like 22.
I know. It's very sweet.
That's sweet. They're all like just learning how to drink.
They probably thought it was a prank.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
so this
I think it's because he looks like he's 15. Yeah.
That might be. So this was not in the plan, but I mentioned this earlier, because Daddy O Cares is about celebrating goodness across, well, for the Bengals, but I've appropriated it for the entire league. I do want to make sure we just celebrate Sandra Douglas. She was the woman named president for the Raiders. She is the first Black woman to be named president of a team. So shout out to Sandra. That is a huge accomplishment and a huge step in an awesome direction for the Raiders, who were a team obviously plagued by a lot of divisiveness and not goodness last season. So congratulations to Sandra
Yeah, and speaking of Daddy Who Cares, I'm sorry, Daddy. I meant to say that you look like you were born right after me because you look as white as me.
Yeah.
Honestly, move the slides back.
Right.
It does not do well for your skin.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think I finally have my internet back just in time for the most important segment, which is patreon.com/thehsports. And, you know, obviously weddings are already expensive. And I don't know if you've heard, but Hoji is in a very serious relationship with Amber, yeah. He's trying to save up for the, obviously, the wedding and the divorce.
Sure. Yeah, you want to plan for that.
So you can go to patreon.com/thehsports and you can support us there. Obviously, check out Luke. He is doing a lot of a stand-up. We might see him regularly on TV. I don't know if you've talked about that, but hopefully we'll see him regularly very soon.
Mm-hmm. On Cops.
But no, I was...
Yeah, rarely are you on Cops more than once, but they say that they're going to probably air my segment twice.
Well, Luke, rarely are you on the show more than once in terms of guest, and you're already the exception to that.
I know. Again, yeah, I'm locked in. This is the only thing my agent could get me, which is messed up.
Luke, do you think Daddy-O could do numbers on TikTok?
Yeah.
I think so. There's a big puppet subsect. Yeah. Play me off, please.
Was that Daddy-O?
Whatever it is, I like it.
Here with your friends?
Yeah, share with your friends.
Notifications. You'll see you next episode of Angus Feed the Pies.
Thanks for listening.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.